We're live?
We are.
Is this real life?
It is.
Hello, Internet! And NSA?
Yes. Happy New Year, Internet.
NSA, stop looking at my junk.
I'm a bit of an exhibitionist. NSA can look at my junk anytime it wants to.
Yeah, they're fine looking at my junk. NSA can look at my junk and TSA gets to touch it.
That's right. They can be jealous of each other.
Oh, we are officially off to a horrible start.
Hey, welcome to 2014. You thought it was going to be better, huh?
Nope.
Oh. Wow.
Uh-oh, I see that Sean Sarantino guy in chat. That's gross. So how was your holiday, Alan? You have a good one?
Yep.
Me too.
It was uneventful.
Yeah. My baby doesn't get Christmas, but she does like the fact that nobody put her down for like 3 days.
Hey, that's awesome. That's like the best thing ever for, you know, a kid like that.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, oh, look, there's some people. I'm going to fall asleep on them.
Do you have a cat?
No.
Okay. I was going to say, if you have a cat, you're used to things falling asleep on you.
Yeah, no. That's babies do that.
Yes,
she also the other day. You'll appreciate this, Alan. So she was getting like crazy fussy and all that, and I'm like, okay, she's not going to fall asleep on her own. So I flopped down in bed and put a movie on, and I was cradling her, and she wasn't taking it. So finally, I tucked my knees up to my chest and set her up against my knees so she could look at my face.
Uh huh.
And that seemed to be amusing enough for her that she wasn't falling asleep, but she wasn't fussing. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to call that good.
That's a win.
And then next thing I know, she's looking me right in the eye and going, Rrr!
Oh, no.
She was using me as a toilet.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
It won't be the last time. No. Get used to it.
So yeah, so daddy equals toilet.
That's right.
But the fact that she was looking right at me, that's the part I don't get. I remember hearing Rachel Lucas talking about how she was noting that whenever dogs were pooping, they always avert their eyes.
Yeah.
And all that, and then someone was saying, well, would it be worse if they were averting their eyes while they were pooping, or if they're looking you right in the eyes going, oh, this one's for you?
Well, it just means that she's your daughter. She has no shame.
That is true. That is true. I wonder if she's not going to be shamed. Hey, Jay, we've got a foot of snow on the ground. You picked a good time to move south of the Mason-Dixon line. This winter's a ball buster. I went out shoveling snow. I mean, it's still snowing out. So all I did was I just cleared my sidewalk and my front walkway so that it's not super deep for when the mailman comes tomorrow. And I was out for maybe 10 minutes before my beard essentially turned into an ice cube.
Wow.
I could have dropped the chunks of ice in my drink.
That's a hazard I hadn't considered.
Oh yeah, no yeah, yeah, it, yeah. It gets cold, but you're clean shaven, Alan. So it,
well,
that's not
I don't know about clean, but
you're filthy shaven.
I have a permanent scruff, I've not had to. Even if I was like the Duck Dynasty guys, I wouldn't have to worry about ice growing on my chin down here. If we ever have that problem in Houston, then the glaciers have overrun half the U.S. and it's over. So
yeah, it may happen.
It might. I keep saying that the glaciers are coming.
Well, that was actually my one of my professors in school, and when I was taking an oceanography class, and he pretty much, this was back when it was called the greenhouse effect.
Oh yeah.
This is an archaic point. Acid rain was still being talked about.
Oh, back in the old days.
That doesn't even get talked about anymore. That's the really hilarious thing. And he was going over ice core data and was just showing showing that before every ice age there's a little bit of a warming trend, and he goes, "I think that's where we are right now." And I got to say that the end value is extremely small right now, but that does appear to be what's happening because it's getting cold.
Yeah, and you know what's always struck me is the global warmists. You know, I think you can look at history, and it doesn't. You know, regardless of whether there's, you know, humans have anything to do with the climate, one way or the other. But in human history, in what we consider recorded human history, it's been colder and it's been warmer.
Yep.
And civilization and humans were better off, arguably better off, when it was warmer.
Yes.
And arguably worse off when it was cooler.
Well, I mean, there's a whole talk about, like, if we end up getting, like, some horrible catastrophic global warming, well, it'll turn, you know, the northern part of Canada and Siberia into fertile farmland.
Yeah. Ooh. Horror.
The horror.
Yeah.
Well, they don't want poor people to get food because then we'll have an obesity problem.
Well, yeah.
You've always got to feel guilty. Liberalism and Catholicism are very, very similar like that.
Well, liberalism is the religion for people who aren't religious.
Hey, let's play some music.
Okay. Let's see. What shall we play?
That's not the right music.
It's Thursday, January 2nd, 2014, a whole new year, a whole new arbitrary calendar unit.
And for those who are wondering, Brita is on assignment.
Yes, Brita won't be joining us. She has she had something she had to do.
She's on assignment.
That's right. She's on assignment. She'll report back later.
I always liked that. So-and-so not here, they're on assignment. And by on assignment, we mean rehab. That's right. Brita had a little bit of a heroin problem. And hopefully she's going to get right with Jesus.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and they're going to pray away the gay. Is that defamatory enough for Brita to hate me?
I don't know. Not quite. So anyway, we got a lot of stuff we can talk about.
First up, I want to say, if you guys want to call in, I'm always amused by hearing people's frustration because I commiserate with that of the how many different forms of paperwork have you went fuck and completely gotten the date wrong?
Oh, yeah.
I have been doing it constantly for the last couple of days with just the I've been writing in 12 when, you know, when it should be 01, yeah. and I've been writing in 2013 when it is not that year anymore.
There's the monthly month issue, and then there's the yearly year issue. I'll be writing 13 on stuff for the next couple of months at least. I'm horrible.
Yeah. Muscle memory.
Yep. Yeah, because you do it without thinking. It really is. It is muscle memory. That call-in number, if you want to call in, 214-530-0036. And we do encourage you to call in because we want to hear from you. We love you all.
Plus, there's only two of us.
That's right. We need somebody to fill up the time.
We're outnumbered.
Oh, man. So you got any good holiday stories?
Nope.
Oh.
No, just we got a blizzard going on, and it's cold and snowy, and I cleaned out my steps so the mailman can get in, but I got to go shoveling again tomorrow because it's going to keep snowing all day tomorrow.
I had a horrible shock.
Five.
Yeah, I had.
How warm is it over there, Alan?
It was like, I don't know, mid-50s today, but
ooh, chilly.
It'll be in the 70s this weekend.
Did you put on your parka?
I had a shock. I was talking to Brita and noticed that her weather forecast is like minus 15. And I was like, that's not a real number. That's that's crazy. Minus.
The temperature is the square root of negative one?
Yeah, it's irrational. And then, did you see the thing about Winnipeg being colder than Mars?
No shit.
Yeah. It was like on the first of January, Winnipeg was, the high in Winnipeg was colder than the high on Mars as measured by the Mars rover.
What is the temperature on Mars?
It was like minus 26 or minus 28, something like that.
I've been out shoveling in colder than that.
Celsius, which is actually even warmer than Fahrenheit. You know, minus 26 Fahrenheit would be colder than minus 26 Celsius.
But I remember shoveling in minus 30.
Good Lord.
That's
ridiculous.
After I finished shoveling out the driveway, I didn't even go in after I was done. I finished shoveling and I went and got a little thing of bubbles instead of blowing bubbles in minus 30, and they freeze and turn to powder.
Whoa!
It's pretty awesome. They freeze. As your warm breath inside them gets cold, they get negative pressure, so they start collapsing. And then they won't pop because there's really the pressure equalizes, so they just kind of shred.
Wow.
So they just turn into like these pieces of cellophane.
That reminds me of playing with liquid nitrogen and doing all the weird stuff you could do with liquid nitrogen.
Yeah, I've been talked to at work. It's so much fun though.
It is. Oh God, stuff. It's okay. First, it's like when you get a doer of liquid nitrogen, you start, first thing you do is start dipping stuff in it, right?
Yep.
Let's freeze this. Oh, cool. Let's freeze this. Oh,
yeah, neat. We use it to freeze tissue samples. And then we flash freeze the samples in the liquid nitrogen, and then we transfer them over to dry ice and then eventually transfer them into the minus 80 freezer where they pretty much sit forever.
Yeah.
Never get touched, but once we're done, again, still got a good amount of liquid nitrogen left over, and I'm always coming up with horrible things to do with it. Sometimes I get away with it, sometimes I don't.
You know what it's real good for?
What's that?
Cleaning floors.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah.
But you gotta be careful. If you put too much on the floors, it'll pop the tiles up.
Yeah, it will. Yeah, it's got to be the right kind of floor. The other fun thing we used to do is freeze mercury, because we had this place I worked at. We did a lot of stuff with mercury, so we always had like a lot of mercury around, and you could freeze mercury. You could make like a little mold and pour mercury in it, and then dunk it in the liquid nitrogen. It would freeze like hard solid.
What's it look like?
It looks like frozen mercury. It's a solid, right?
But I mean, does it just look like any other silver metal, or does it kind of get a weirdness to it?
No, it looks like, you know, it looks like mercury, only it doesn't flow. And then you kind of set it someplace, and it like melts. It's very cool.
What do you use the mercury for?
This was for making night vision chips, mercury, cadmium, tellurium, very nasty stuff.
Sounds like magic.
Yeah, it was when I was working at TI back in the old days, back in the 80s.
Is it alchemy?
No, they were. It was a lab setup. They were using pressurized. Oh God, what did they do? They mix the mercury. They mix the stuff in quartz ampules and then put them in kilns. And they were experimenting with the right heat cool cycle to get a certain crystal structure that they wanted, and it was very, you know.
I was just
the summer help at that point. So.
You were wearing a robe and wizard hat, right?
Yes.
that's how I pictured it.
I was wearing a lab coat and lots of safety equipment.
Robe and wizard hat.
Yeah. If by wizard hat you mean, you know, face shield and plastic hat, then yeah, I guess that counts. The hydrogen oxygen torch was a lot of fun for melting the quartz
Don't breathe. Inhale pure hydrogen.
No, but the oxygen sure was handy on a Monday morning. Let me tell you that.
Oh God, I played that game. That was after Obama's first victory. I showed up at work and I just was going, oh man, I'm not feeling too good. And I was like debating, do I sulk off to the men's room and make myself throw up and then probably make things better? But I'm like, I know if I do that, someone's going to come in and they're going to see me retching.
Yeah.
And then they're going to see me go back to work and they're going to put two and two together that, oh, Weird's throwing up. Well, that means that he must be sick.
He must be pregnant.
Oh, he's better. And that means he was overserved.
Yeah,
and all that, and instead I had some paperwork to do in the animal facility, and so I said, you know what, I'm going to do my paperwork in the surgical suite, and I'm going to crack the valve to one of the oxygen bottles, and yeah, about 10 minutes of that, and I went, holy crap, this works.
Yes, it does. It's surprising.
Oh, it works very well. So yeah,
we have.
I've also heard starting an IV works well.
I have never done that. We have a caller.
Where are they calling from?
Area code 703. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Oh, it's Jay.
I thought I'd mess you up with the new area code.
That is a new area code.
You son of a bitch, Jay. You picked a perfect winter. This is shaping up to be the winter of 2010 all over again.
I called just to gloat. No other reason. Well, that, and I think you're boring people to death. But
it's the winter of Weird's discontent.
What was the temperature there, Jay?
It's about 31, 32. It's actually snowing here, believe it or not. There's a whole inch on my truck. I think we're probably going to have work off tomorrow. You know, they'll like that.
Oh, God. There's like a foot and a half on the ground, and I'm going to work tomorrow.
Well, I've heard that, actually. I've heard from friends up in the area that it's pretty craptastic. Our old neighbors were posting there's like 14 to 16 inches already, and there's more coming down. And they were freaking out that they were still having school today. And
I got to say, at least it is so damn cold that, I mean, the snow is just perfect crystal structures, and so
you're clearing your deck with, like, you know, a fan.
It's done. Almost all air.
Yeah.
And but the downside is that it's blowing like a son of a bitch right now. So as I was clearing off one spot, not only is the snow still coming down, but the wind is blowing, and so it just drifts right back over it. So you'll just get like 8 or 9 inches just covering right where you went.
Oh, you people and your snow.
Boy, that just sounds terrible, I got to tell you.
Jay's going to cry.
It's going to be in the 50s all weekend. I couldn't hear you over the sound of you crying.
So tell me, Jay, when are you going to get to handle the R-51?
Hopefully in a couple of weeks. Because I'm pretty sure they're going to have it at SHOT Show. So
They'd be silly not to.
Well, yeah, no kidding. No kidding. So we're going to be, like, you know, climbing over each other. I want a picture. I want to hold it, not steal. So,
yeah, but you're official, like, real media this time, not, you know, some filthy blogger.
I'm like press.
Yeah.
Man.
It's not
even like new media. This is like old media. I'm like dead tree media.
Yeah,
man.
They should have like the guy standing at the velvet rope will be, you know, this way, sir.
No, but I am gonna walk by the gun. Who the hell was it? Guns America blog. And you know, rip a few. You know, neener neener neener. No, I shouldn't say that. But. Yeah, just in case anybody's curious, my name is Fred. So, I'm hoping that the MSRP I'm seeing is correct, because under $400 is pretty damn good.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I may have to pick one up just because I can, because there's no approved roster here in Virginia. Oh, sorry, Weird.
Yeah, know. I'm gonna wait and see what happens. This is a pistol that's basically made by what used to be Paraordinates. So I'm gonna.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good point.
I'm gonna hold off and see what the first what the early adopters' experience with it is.
Plus, I gotta say, Jay, it appears to be from all I've seen a single stack, and so why would you get that in Virginia?
Yeah, that's a good point. I do have to admit, I'll give a shout out to our friends at Brownells, because I ordered a couple of one was actually a high capacity magazine. I ordered a Ruger 10/22 25 rounder, and so that technically is a high capacity because they ship with tens, and I got the dreaded notice that you can't receive these in your municipality. Please contact so and so. I contacted them, and I said, well, please notice that I've changed my address because I've moved. And they said, we're very sorry, sir. We'll change that in our system. And the order shipped out in, like, less than 30 minutes.
Nice.
Because they're Brownells, and Brownells is awesome.
Yep. They have the best customer service. I used to say Cisco had the best support, but now I think Brownells is the best now.
I don't know if it's specifically because of Larry Weeks or not, but I kind of think it is.
Yep.
Oh, and you know what also you can do at Brownells now, Jay?
What's that?
Order ammo.
I can order ammo. That's true. That is, I can do that through Brownells or any number of the other online ammunition.
Any place but Lucky Gunner or one of their affiliated.
Well, what's wrong with Lucky Gunner?
Yeah. We don't order from them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I've got a shipment coming in from the super secret
don't,
supplier. That,
don't name them. It, don't name them. You'll clear
I'm,
the deal.
I
have it on good authority that Marcia Coakley listens to the Squirrel Report.
I like Ammo to Go because they sell out of Texas.
They do.
They're Texas. Yep. Dude, could you drop by and pick it up?
Actually, I could. They're like an hour away from where I live. But it's the funny thing is I added up like how much gas it would cost me versus how much they charge for shipping, and it's cheaper for them to ship. It's crazy.
Yep. You know who isn't like that? IKEA.
Oh,
yeah. I hate them. Unfortunately, their furniture is actually pretty decent and inexpensive, so we're going to have to make more trips there. It makes me cry.
Do you have an IKEA nearby, or do you have to go to Foxborough?
Go to Foxborough. No, actually, it's about 40 minutes away. It's not that far.
It's about as close as it is to here.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
you can, and while you're there, you can have some very, very mediocre Swedish meatballs and some lingonberry sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see it actually pulling the moisture out of the air around it. It was so salty, so I figured I'd pass. But when you've got children that like to actively destroy furniture, it behooves you to get stuff that's reasonably solid and cheap.
Yep.
So although I do have to admit, the movers did a much better job destroying the furniture than the children did. So
yeah, that's what movers are good at.
Oh yeah. Man, did you? We had such good luck with murder. We've got some antique pieces of furniture that are quite valuable, and we kept saying we were watching like a hawk and saying, "Well, number one, we had valuable furniture, and number two, we had just replaced all the plaster walls in the house." And so we're like, "All right, do not break the furniture, do not break the walls. We've got way too much money in this stuff." And we hired a whole bunch of Russians. And these guys
they're real big in the furniture moving world.
They were so brutally strong that not only were they, like, just one dude was moving a piece of furniture that would take, like, two people. One dude was moving, he was moving it with such ease that it was like he was, like, just had every ounce of control. It just wasn't even shaking.
Do you know why? They're all spawned by Vladimir Putin.
I thought they were ex-Spetsnaz.
Every single one of them has Vlad Putin's DNA coursing through their veins.
It's like if you had the SEALs come in and move your furniture for you.
Exactly. Exactly.
I should have asked them to do it shirtless.
You should have asked them to wrestle a bear.
Shirtless while punching a bear.
Could you do me a favor? Could you go punch a bear in the face?
Oh God.
So yeah.
Well, yes, and I have bear provided for you.
They keep bringing bear. You bring bear to Yuri.
So, yeah. Yevgeny got bear.
Yeah, just watch out because Sal will come along.
Oh, Sal.
Oh, goodness.
Yep.
Oh, goodness. So, yes.
How was your holiday, Jay? Yeah.
It was interesting. It involved lots of boxes and none of the Christmas variety. Most of my holiday was spent going, where the hell did that go? I don't know. Maybe it's in this box. Nope. Maybe it's in this box. Repeat 50 billion times. So, try not to move. If you can avoid it, have your house burned down first. That would be my preferred method of moving again, is burn, have the house burned down and buy all new stuff.
Well, you've got a pickup truck, right? So
exactly.
What you do is you put the few things that you can't, you know, you really need, and whatever will fit in the bed of your pickup truck, and then just drive off.
Yeah, there's one problem with
leave
that.
The
I
rest.
I heard he did that. All my guns and ammo.
Well, there you go.
It fills my truck.
You don't need anything else.
Yeah, that's a thing. My wife had to understand that, you know, pickups trucks are not like a bag of holding.
it is not a pickup TARDIS.
What's really weird is my wife has completely swapped from the pickup truck to the mom mobile. First the pickup truck, she was just saying, oh, that'll fit in the pickup truck, and I'm like looking at it and going, no, it'll hang 8 inches off the back of the pickup truck. You know, we can maybe bungee it on, but I'm not going to drive any long distances. Nowadays, she's like, oh, that won't fit in the pickup, or that won't fit in the car. And I'm like, yeah, it will.
She's gone the other way.
Yeah. I like it better this way. She doesn't ask me to move the impossible. And instead, I look like a hero.
There you go.
Well, speaking thereof.
Under promise and over deliver.
Exactly. I managed to look good in my teenage son's eyes, so I was very happy. We were loading the furniture that we purchased at IKEA into the back of the truck, and the bed that we got for my daughter, the long piece, was 6.5 feet long, and the bed 6.25. And so we're kind of rearranging stuff, and it laid on the tailgate, and it was just about an inch too long, and the gate wouldn't, the back window wouldn't close. And my son's looking at me like, Dad, what are you going to do? I said, watch this. Rip the box open just enough to get the hinge in. Click. And he looked up with the look. I said, I've never seen that look before. I may never see it again. I'm just going to bask in the moment.
Oh.
And he's like, Dad, that was wicked cool.
I thought you were going to tell us you got him a hooker or something.
No, that's next year.
All right. Cool. We'll see. You'll see that look again.
Well, you know, and then, you know, the first beer, the first hooker,
you know,
all the milestones in life.
Yeah. These things are important.
Yeah, well, you know.
Thanks for calling, Jay.
Anytime, guys. Keep up the good work.
All right. You too.
All right. Talk to you.
We got calls lined up.
Yay!
I know.
Good. I'm sick of talking. let's let them do it.
You got to talk to the caller.
I'm tired. I got
this
babies.
Is somebody in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, or somebody from a phone that claims to be in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. I guess we really don't know. Hello, caller.
Yes. Rumors of my demise have been greatly exaggerated.
Dennis!
Wow.
How you feeling, buddy?
Pretty good. Today is 6 weeks exactly since a triple bypass.
I heard you were dead.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, rumors of my demise have been greatly exaggerated. Not triple bypass. It went really quick. I mean, you know, I had heart pains on a Monday night, and Thursday they had me on a slab and were doing the work.
Wow.
So,
yay, yeah, modern technology. Pre-Obamacare, too, thank God.
And I can actually claim this was pre-Obamacare because it was still under my old policy. But, yeah, I was lucky I did not have a heart attack, per se. It was just angina. So there was no damage. So I'm recovering very quickly.
You are a lucky man.
Yes, I am. I had the Widowmaker, by the way. If you've ever heard of anybody of a heart blockage called the Widowmaker, that's what I had. It was 100% stopped up.
Ooh. Yikes.
Thank God for something they call secondary arterial something or other, where other arteries were feeding the heart enough to keep me alive. I couldn't really exert myself. It was just keeping me alive. So, yeah, for folks who have chest pains, let me say this. Don't ignore it. Pay attention to it.
Okay.
I mean, I thank my lucky stars that I'm still here and breathing. But anyway, no, I just wanted to call in and say hi to folks. I love the topic that you have listed of, and then what? Because I read that this morning,
right?
On you know, Tam's post. Okay, great. You want to burn it all down? Then what? You're just going to go ahead and put the same bunch of yahoos back, or a different bunch of yahoos that are going to do the same thing back into place? And you know, I got to admit that the article that she was commenting on is correct. There are different classes of people in this country, and if you don't think so, you're a fool.
Well, since you brought it up,
go ahead.
Let's talk about that because what Dennis is talking about. I'll put the link in the show in the chat in case anybody's not seen it. The guy at Pope Hat put in a thing, basically a big, all long Randy article that's got, I think last time I looked, it had 360 some odd comments on it. It was crazy. Basically pointing out that, you know, the rule of law is dead, and gave a bunch of examples. And, you know, basically he's right. It is dead.
Yeah, and it was a great post, too. I mean,
I'm not sure that I agree that it's dead, but I do believe that it's kind of evolved into a caste system the same way that, you know, India has. You've got laws for the peons. You got laws for the ones that are kind of sort of connected. You got ones that kind of sort of work for the government or are connected that way. And then you've got a level for the politicians who can pull strings and get away with almost anything they want.
Yeah, but that's what the rule of law is. I mean, the rule of law is that the law applies to everyone equally. And we don't have that anymore.
True. No, you are correct there. We don't have that anymore.
It's complete. We have a Secretary of the Treasury that still has not paid his taxes.
Oh, yeah. Sure, and he's never going to.
Yeah, we've got the Attorney General who's under investigation for criminal behavior, and He's squelching the documents that will likely land in federal prison.
He is himself interfering in an investigation. He is obstructing justice himself.
Well, if you want to look at it that way too, you've got a president who's basically doing the same thing. It's we've got a law. This is the new health care law. Everybody's gonna be treated the same,
right,
except for unions and teachers and firefighters and cops. And, you know, truckers and unions that squawk a lot.
And whoever pays me lots of money.
Whoever pays me lots of money. You are correct. In that regard, the rule of law has broken down. Whether or not, and you know what? A year ago, if somebody would have asked me, I would have said, yep, there's going to be something. There's going to be a trigger. There's going to be something that's going to light that fuse. And all hell's going to break loose and shit's going to hit the fan. And you know what? A year later, I think I've come around to the realization that they could go door to door, every house in the USA, and take anything they want with impunity, and no one is going to squawk, say word one. I don't think that shooting will happen. I just think that this country would roll. There would be a few who shoot and get, you know, blown away out, you know, on their doorstep. Okay, great. But I think the majority, 98%, 99%, will just roll over and say, there you go, take what you want.
Well,
and really,
the ones that did shoot back, you'd never hear about it.
Well, that's correct. Or they would be portrayed as yahoos who had arsenals in their basement, and all they had was two boxes of ammo and, you know, three 9mm pistols, you know.
Well, I mean, just look at Ruby Ridge. I mean, that's a prime example of, a bunch of people that said the government's out to get us. You know, we're going off the grid. We're going far away where they can't get to us, and we're staying the hell away. And and essentially they're viewed as a bunch of crazy people, except for the government wiped them out.
Yeah, I mean, they really were out to get them.
Yeah, you're not paranoid if everyone is trying to get you.
And that is true. You're not paranoid if everybody is trying to get you. But like I said, I think that too many people have been lulled into the whole, the government is there to run your life and take care of you and make sure that you don't get sick and make sure that if you're sick, you get health care and make sure that your babies are fine and fed. And if you don't, go ahead and feed your kids. We're going to take them away. We're going to feed them for you. And yeah, I really don't think that people will really squawk. I think that 99.9% of the population will roll over.
If the free handouts continued, you're correct. However, the free handouts can't continue.
Oh boy!
I'm with Dennis on that one.
There's not enough money. There isn't enough money, and at a certain point, you know,
they're going to keep printing the money.
Yeah,
it's going to be like the old Soviet Union. I swear to God, I see that coming.
And look what happened there.
But it won't be in our generation or our lifetime that we see it fall.
It will too.
I really don't. I think that there's enough assets that there's enough that the government can try to suck dry that they will be able to be like the old Soviet Union for two or three generations. And then it'll collapse, and then, you know, we won't be here, but God help them when it does.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be sooner than that, and I think it'll be less violent than anybody ever expected.
You know, you can hope that it'll be less violent, and I really do hope it would be. But
well,
like I said, I think
here's the thing. Here's the reason I say this whole, you know, violence in the streets thing. I mean, you may have in certain, you know, overcrowded urban areas, you may have some rioting and violence. However, there's a reason you don't have that today, and that's because most people don't want it.
True.
So, you know.
Well, do you really think that it will come to the point where most of the people or a decent amount of people, a large amount of people, will want it to happen? Aside from the Threepers and, you know, the tinfoil hatters.
Well, I think you're always going to have a certain segment of the population that's going to be rabble-rousing for whatever reason.
But isn't there a difference between rabble-rousing and actually taking up arms and going out and, you know, standing together and shooting?
I think if I had to put money on, you know, a likely scenario, I think it comes from the other side. To start with, I think what happens is you'll see the, you know, government services. I mean, you're already starting to see it now. They cut unemployment. You know, they cut they're cutting, you know, services. And as more, you know, because there's just not enough fucking money.
True. And that's what I'm saying. You know, they're going to keep on cutting services so they can stretch what they can give out,
right,
and try to keep as many people, you know, sheeple as you know, keep them bleeding, you know, keep them, you know, asking for more food, more handouts, as long as they can. And I think that there's enough, if they stretch it out and tighten their belts, that they can do that for two or three generations. But then when it all hits the fan, yeah, that's when the real problem starts. We're not going to be around to see it. Unless they come up with, you know, a really good artificial heart that they can replace my crappy one with and make me lift it on 300.
Yeah, I actually expect something a little different. I mean, this is not, you know, this is by far not the worst time that this country's ever been in. You know,
oh, no.
I mean, there's been far worse situations. I mean, we had, you know, look at the, you know, Civil War and the post-Civil War time. Look at the, you know, not World War One, but certainly World War Two, where you know we had an existential threat. You know, I think a lot of people are kind of going along because there's, you know, the pain of not going along is greater than, you know.
Well, yeah, there's also that, the pain of not going along when the government comes knocking on your door and says, how come you don't want to be like everybody else? You know, it reminds me of Atlas Shrugged. You really don't want to be just like everybody else.
But you're starting to see people that are kind of checking out. You know, you're starting to see people that are doing exactly that. They're going, fuck it.
A lot of people are, and here in this area, East Tennessee, Oak Ridge, and the surrounding like Knoxville area, there is a huge, huge prepper community. I get people coming into my store all the time asking when I'm going to start carrying prepper goods and prepper-type things that you're going to need, bug-out bags, water storage, food storage, all that kind of stuff, you know, MREs, you know, freeze-dried stuff. It's there's a huge market here in the Knoxville metro area and North Carolina, you know, what borders East Tennessee, North Carolina, West Virginia, Kentucky, that kind of stuff. So it's big, and it's there. They're just quiet, and they're low-key, and they're really not drawing attention to themselves.
Well, I think at a certain point, people are going to wake the fuck up, and they're and you know, this is not going to be a situation like the American Revolution was, where you've got a bunch of
and not that we want it to be.
Let's
go to the other side.
Well,
the fact that when you look at violent revolutions. With the exception of the American Revolution,
I
can't think of any other place where the people were better off after the revolution than before. Maybe the Soviet coup, but even then, I mean, Russia's no great place to be, and they're precariously balancing on bringing the Soviet Union back,
right?
It's one of those we've got the whole soapbox, ballot box, ammo box. We're on the soapbox, and you've got things like the threepers that talk about, oh, I've got my line drawn in the sand,
yet
the line drawn in the sand is being crossed all the time.
Sure,
they're not shooting, and they shouldn't be shooting because it's not gonna get us out of this. And, you know, the soapbox, we can blog about it, we can talk about it, we can sit here on the, on the Squirrel Report and say, how horrible things are, and it's not going to make it any better. What we need to do is we really need to get people to understand that we need to vote ourselves some people that actually care about this stuff. And thankfully there are people that do care about it. We'll see if they can get themselves in any place of power.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That is the big problem.
Absolutely. Anyway.
Thanks for calling, Dennis. I'm glad you're...
I'm going to let somebody else get on. And again, to everybody out there, get yourself checked because let me tell you something. Getting yourself ripped open and having three people stick their hands in there fixing shit hurts for weeks afterwards.
Yes, but it's better than the alternative.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But now you got a
I'll
cool spot.
I'll talk to you all again.
Thanks,
talk
Dennis.
Talk to you all again soon. Have a great night now.
Bye.
Oh, glad Dennis is feeling
better.
Yeah,
me too.
Glad to hear him. Glad to hear him calling in.
Yeah, he sounded good.
He did.
Yeah, so, look back. You can put on your alternative history hat. And you can look at all the reasons for the American Revolution and why things happened and all that kind of stuff, over what amounted to, a 2% tax. What's our tax rate now?
A gabillion.
Yeah. The thing is even if you ascribe selfish motives to the people that started the American Revolution, you figure they were all in it for you know, their own pocketbook. They were all in it for their own self-interest. They came up with a, you know, what they came up with wound up being pretty good. And I think they were, you know, they were looking at it from that Lockean perspective of, you know, limited government, blah, blah, blah. We don't have that today.
No.
There is, there are no eminent statesmen arguing for limited government. I mean, there's a few, and they're seen as crackpots. You know, it's not.
Well, they're seen as the. Thankfully, they're starting to be seen as less of crackpots.
Well, but that's only because, and you know, you want to talk about a you know, the lesson for how to beat this is has been played out over the last few months. You know, remember the shutdown drama. You know, yeah. Oh yes, Obama ran the government up to shutdown because he wasn't going to delay the mandate. And Ted Cruz and those guys were like, oh, yes, you know, we're going to, you know, butt heads on this. You know, come to find out the better strategy would have been for them to sit back and go, okay, do it. Because, it, you know, in hindsight, it turned out that, you know, who knew that the exchange was going to be a colossal disaster, you know. And it turns out that sometimes the way to overcome socialism and progressives and stuff is to, you know, you can't argue with them, you know, because there's always going to be enough of the people that think it's a great idea.
Yep.
So you kind of have to let them fuck it up and then kind of say, well, okay, you know, we gave you your chance. You suck. Your ideas suck, and now everybody knows it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's I always point out, you always see, like, you know, these, especially the loud ones, the, you know, the wealthy Hollywood types that are all, you know, pro socialism. You know, they're all talking all this big stuff, but there's no one who has ever supported socialism thinking that, well, I'm not going to be as good off under this system, but you know what? It's going to be better for people in general. No,
right.
Every single person that supports socialism is doing it for their own personal benefit.
Of course, they are.
They're seeing. I mean, it's just. I mean, look at all the major people. I mean, the Kennedys are a great example. The Kennedys are super, super, super socialist family. You know, in their modern iteration. You know, all in favor of bigger government and more, you know, more entitlements and more tax systems and all of that. And they're renowned tax cheats.
Of course.
And, you know, it's because, you know, oh, yeah, no. Well, we're voting for you other.
Right.
To pay for this. I'm not going to pay for it because I'm going to, you know, move my money offshore or, you know, because I'm a wealthy social person, you know, a great example was when Rose Kennedy died. She'd lived in Florida for like 6 months. You know, they moved her down to Florida and had her die, and then her money just got transferred tax free because
right.
They said, you know what, she lived in Florida, even though we just pretty much moved her down there to die.
Right.
And you know, we're gonna shelter our assets from these, you know, crazy death taxes that you know we're voting for.
Yeah, for everybody else that can't afford to do that, right? Yep. Yeah, because wealth always maintains itself. I mean, look at the income of the 1%, blah blah blah.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, Bill Maher says we need to pay more taxes.
But yeah.
How much does Bill pay?
Yeah.
Bill keeps getting richer.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, yeah, at a certain point, you know, you stop caring about the taxes. You know, once you got a few billion, you know, you're going to make money no matter what.
Yep. And then on top of that, you'll bask in the hypocrisy of, you know,
right.
Michael Moore, you know, filming his last film in a non-union shop so that, you know, he could, you know, espouse the joys of unionism, but not have to pay them.
Right. Well, you know, it doesn't have to be the rich people either. You know, look at all these so-called, you know, poor people that were all in favor of Obamacare because they thought they were going to get free health insurance.
And to be fair, you know, a lot of them, because they've got their assets in such a way, they are going to be working out better.
Right.
Because they're going to get nothing but subsidy, while, you know, people like us who work are going to have to pay more.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people that are like, I was in favor of Obamacare, and they'll flat out tell you, because I thought I was going to get cheap health insurance, and now I find out it's going to be expensive as shit, and I can't afford it.
Yep. Expensive as shit and essentially no coverage.
Yeah, boo.
Because, you know, oh, you've got you know, a $5,000 deductible. Do you have $5,000? You know, just can you, if you get a, you know, if you get a $10,000 surgery, are you able to pay half of it? No.
Right. Yeah, and yet, well, it's just, but that's the kind of thing that people wake up sooner, you know, and it happens at the margin, right? You know, it's like you and the gun thing, right? You started off being anti-gun because you never really actually thought about it. Mm-hmm. And once you started paying attention, you kind of were like, oh. And what'll happen as these things like this, these things play out, is at the margin, more and more people will go, oh, you know what? This shit doesn't work. So there was a study released by the Journal of Economic, the study came out yesterday or, well, anyway, recently, Journal of Applied Economics. They did a study and they said, oh, look, you know, there's a positive correlation between increased concealed carry and a lower murder rate. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is not some industry guy. This is some economist at some university who has, you know, basically no dog in the hunt, right? He's just doing a study. But that kind of stuff, when people actually start to look at it, they go, you know what? Huh.
Yeah. I mean, we're officially down to the violent crime level from before the original gun control push started going through, where they suddenly started disarming people. Huh. Funny how that works.
Yeah. Imagine
these laws being pushed through by safety led to generations of less safety.
Right.
And now that we've started liberalizing our laws, we're getting more safety.
Yep.
What law do you support?
And I think
the people that are still supporting all this stuff, it's obvious they don't care about safety. No, they just want to ban guns.
Right. Exactly. And I mean, yeah,
I heard a local talk show host one point say, you know, Democrats and taxes are like teenagers and sex. They will do anything. It doesn't have to make any sense.
Right.
You know, they'll cross state lines. They'll drive through the night. They'll, you know,
yep,
they'll go over to somebody's place and hang out for hours and hours that they're not enjoying and they're not having a good time.
Just on the off chance.
Maybe they'll get some sex out of this.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't have to be economical.
No, of course not.
That's what they want to do, but they'll claim whatever they want to claim.
Right.
But the short answer is that they're crazy.
Right. Well, you know, we're kind of seeing, I think, honestly, I really think this is the dark before the dawn. You know, we're seeing breaks in the wall on the war on drugs. You know,
sure,
it's anybody with a lick of sense these days realizes and understands that the war on drugs has been a complete disaster.
Yep.
And it's only a matter of time before we see that go away. You know, there's a lot of people that have, you know, that are making a lot of money off of it right now. So it's going to take, you know, it's going to take a lot of work still. But, you know,
and the downside is we've still got a lot, you know, all this going on is the places that are relaxing their you know, their drugs and not have their drug laws and not having it be, you know, under the spurious, oh, this, you know, here, smoke this, it's medicine.
Right.
Because, you know, there's so many carcinogens that, you know, that they make you inhale to cure various diseases. No, it's about getting high.
Right.
But that's kind of buried under a whole bunch of other bullshit. But now people are starting to say, no. People want to get this drug because they want to get high.
Right.
But they're going to tax the shit out of it.
Oh, that's okay. And they do the same thing with alcohol.
Well, except, I still see a lot of the places that are legalizing marijuana, they're taxing it so much that people are going to still be buying it from Mexico.
But they do the same thing with cigarettes.
That's exactly. I mean, the number one contraband in America is cigarettes.
Right. So, you know, but it's decriminalized, right? Nobody, you know, unless you're moving semi-trucks full of cigarettes, you're not going to jail for, you know, buying an untaxed pack of smokes.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's going to be the same thing with pot, right?
That's the other thing is, I mean, it's one of those, like, you know, if you're buying it from an illegal source, and of course also it's weed, you know, I mean, you can grow it. You can grow it.
Right. I mean, a lot of people are going to have little victory gardens in their backyard growing the shit, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, I knew a bunch of stoners in college. And let me tell you, these were not like expert horticulturists. These people could not get an orchid to bloom. But let me tell you.
They could grow them some pot, huh?
They could get themselves a pound of pot in 6 months out of a couple of seeds that they got out of a dime bag.
Right. Yeah. So,
but and as soon as it comes off the plants and as soon as it's in somebody's pocket, there's no way to tell where it came from.
Sure. You know, and the same thing is going to happen with Obamacare. I mean, this is like the, you know, this is going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back. You got to remember, we haven't had a free market in healthcare in the United States since before World War II.
Yep.
The government has been heavily involved in regulation and, you know, limiting access. It's just crazy. And I think what's going to happen is this Obamacare, we're going to have a couple of years where everything's really shitty and it's just flat out not going to work. You're already starting to see more and more doctors that are setting up cash only practices, you know, and they're charging a fraction of what they would have to charge if they took insurance. Because, you know, people, they get their money up front. They don't have to deal with insurance. They don't have to do with anything. So they only have to charge exactly what it costs them. And it turns out to be, you know, a sixth to a fifth of what you pay. It makes everything, it makes healthcare affordable again. And I think as the Obamacare debacle plays out, I think you're going to see more and more of these doctors that are looking around going, you know what? Medicaid, I can't, this ain't working. I think you'll see more and more go to cash only. And when that happens, people are going to go, oh, well, I don't need insurance for this. You know, maybe I need a big, you know, catastrophic policy in case I wind up in the hospital. But, you know, which takes us back to what, you know, medical insurance should be in the first place.
Well, also, I mean, the scary thing is that doctors are going to get mighty scarce. Because on one hand, you've got this just huge influx of people that are now suddenly going to be demanding to see a doctor.
Right.
Because, you know, even if they have a shitty policy, at least they're getting a policy, and,
right,
you know, which they never had before. And then on top of that, I mean, medical school is no fucking joke.
Right.
It is awful. I mean, I know a bunch of people that are enrolling in medical school, and I keep telling them, what are you, too happy? Why are you enrolling in medical school? I mean, I'm doing it just as a joke of just right. The fact that I'm a guy that did my 4 years of college and said, I am done. I am not going back. I'm not getting my master's.
Yeah,
I'm not getting a PhD. I'm going to do the best I can. And when I hit that glass ceiling, I'm going to enjoy that glass ceiling until I retire.
Yeah, but, you know, the other thing is technology is going to supplant a lot of that because, you know, it turns out that medical diagnosis is something that computers do really well.
Yep.
And that's most of what you go to a doctor for is diagnosis.
Well, and also, you know, let's face it, once you start getting the doctors and especially a doctor, you know, under an insurance program and under all this litigation, they're going to start doing all sorts of stupid bullshit.
Yeah, they already do.
There was a book written by the guy that runs the Game Show Network. I don't know what his name is, but it's called How the Healthcare System Killed My Father. And it was his father went in for, you know, I don't know what the health problem was. I didn't read the book, but But essentially, they started giving him so many tests that were essentially unnecessary. They weren't, you know, it wasn't going to save his life, but they were just making sure that he didn't have this and he didn't have that. Let's poke him again. Let's poke him again. And he eventually ended up getting an infection,
right,
because of all the tests that they were putting him through. And it was the infection that killed him.
Yep.
And so it was all from just unnecessary tests. It was all from just, you know, bullshit. You know, after my wife had the baby, she got, you know, the edema in her legs. That's very, very common. And we went back into the hospital because she called them up and said, you know, my legs are starting to hurt. They're so swollen. And as soon as you say my legs are hurting, they're immediately assuming that you've thrown a clot or you've got a blockage or something right. like that. They can't just go with the, oh, you just had a baby, your legs were swelling in the hospital, put some pressure socks on and see how it works. Because God forbid, you know, you get some gangrene and now you're going to lose your leg. They're going to get sued.
Right.
They can't live with that. And when we went in, the nurses looked at her legs and they didn't say it to us, but you could see it in their eyes. They immediately knew this was nothing serious. But instead, they had to go through all of the motions because that's how the system's laid out.
Yep. Crazy. Wow, we're like out of time.
Uh-oh.
Well, there was one more thing I wanted to get to, and this
was... Yeah, we need to get to that.
This thing.
Especially given that I live in Massachusetts.
This Connecticut, there's this really uncomfortable comparison that's kind of popped up with this Connecticut registration thing of people standing in line to register, comparing to the, you know, the German Jews lining up for registration in 1942. And if that doesn't chill your blood, then you just don't have a fucking clue.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's nothing so dramatic in Massachusetts cause it was just worked through in the system. But yeah, I mean, all of my guns are registered. There's a ton of gun crime, and the registry in Massachusetts has never been used to stop a single crime. The only
and never why, will.
No, who cares?
Yeah, that's not the point of it.
Yeah, that's not the point of it. The only point is that if they suddenly decide that one of my guns or several of my guns is suddenly not going to be the right type of gun and the not safe type of gun, they know. I mean, they're all registered, so I can't do shit about it. I can't bury him in the backyard because, yep.
Too late.
They're buried, you know, they're buried, you know, oh, they're going to come take my guns. Yep. Well, I'll bury them in the backyard. Well, they're going to come and they've got the gun
type. They've got the list, right.
The serial number.
What'd you do with it?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. It got lost in a boating accident. Well,
yeah.
Then my guns get to be buried in the backyard and I get to be buried in a prison.
Yep. Hey, we got another caller.
Uh-oh.
It's Bradley.
Yes, it is. I don't know why these things can't happen here. When that exact thing happened here, you know, we run into all the Japanese and Asians on the West Coast.
And the Native Americans.
And exactly. Before that, we did the Native Americans.
It's happened. Yeah, it's happened here repeatedly.
It's always happening here, it seems, and we're always doing it for some stupid reason, and, you know, then we get all high and mighty. Well, we're better. We won't do it. Bullshit. We've done it, and let me show you history of us doing it.
Yep. Yep. You're absolutely right.
Yep.
Well, and on that brilliant, happy note, I guess we're done.
I like babies.
Yeah, babies are cool. Thanks for calling, Bradley.
Okay. Talk to you guys later.
And I guess we'll be back next week. We should have Brita back next week.
Yay, Brita.
Yeah. I know. Everybody.
Shows
everybody,
always go better with Brita.
Everybody wants to listen to her anyway, so.
Yeah. Brita doesn't think that she's an integral part of the Squirrel Report.
Yeah, well, she's wrong.
Except for say that to those of us who are stuck doing the show without her.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it always works better with that. She's like the, oh, forget it, I'm not going there. Oh, shit. All right. Well, we'll see y'all next week. Happy New Year, and have a good one.
Triskaidekaphobes, breathe a sigh of relief.
That's right.
So I'm going to say, I think I'm the opposite of a triskaidekaphobe. I've certainly never had a Friday the 13th that was a bad one.
I know. I just don't really pay attention. Okay, then.
All right.
Bye, y'all.
Good night, Internet.